I would sell a phone and a SIM card to another person or a family member, not a family member, some other than a family member. Then there were those issues that we had to deal with, meaning that I really don't have an option that is that the service provider must deactivate the person on himself, the same documents, and then the other person is then registered in some state. And we collapsed that to basically agree that the two individuals concerned must approach the service provider together. So we didn't actually go through the wording of what they got here. So I want to suggest that we start with that one and then proceed to where we go.
Thank you very much.
I think we are then on page 18, option 3, where we say any customer who from the date of commencement of this section, sales or in any other matter provides or disposes of a cell phone or SIM card to a person, and then the exception other than a family member and the person who is to receive the cell phone or the SIM card must together, and then the important issue is notify the TSP of, first of all, the full names and identity number of both persons, and then subparagraph 2, all other particulars contemplated in section 40 sub 2 in respect of the person who is to receive the cellular phone or the SIM card. Then part B of that relates to the obligation of the TSP on receipt of that notification that we've just dealt with. A TSP must, upon receipt of the information provided in terms of paragraph A, first of all, verify the full name, identity number, and identity of the person with reference to the person's identification document, and secondly, require the person who is to receive the SIM card or the cellular phone to submit the documentation referred to in subsection 3B, that is the section dealing with the verification of the document, and thirdly, update the information recorded and stored in terms of subsection 2. Madam Chair, I can just say is when we had a relook yesterday afternoon at some of the provisions, I think, and I know we will do so soon, but one thing that we really need to look at is the question of what is it really insofar as the ID of the person that needs to be verified. In some instances, I think we just refer to full names. In other places, we indicated full names and surname, but we will, the department will take care of that just to make sure it's full names and surname, and then the identity number and also the identity which relates to the photograph.
Now, let's jump back to the stuff there. Do we want by this section to cover everybody who disposes of a cell phone, whether or not that cell phone is activated? We only want to cover those cell phones and SIM cards that have already been activated. Why? Because then they won't be available to the communication service.
That is one way of looking at that. My only concern is that when we drafted section 42, all along the issue of the IN number and the importance of recording that, we discussed that at length. And I think the reason being is that the inclusion of those particulars was to ensure in cases where the phone has not been used and then lost. So I'm just thinking about how will that relate.
Remember the definition of activate. It's allowing access, not using. So the minute there is the possibility of a phone being able to be used on a network, then it is activated. Even if person which it has to use. So what I'm suggesting is, if I have a cell phone and I haven't purchased it, or, you know, I've just purchased it off the shop, so to speak, once again, I bought a cell phone, then my contract and then by a service with telecommunication service provider, would I be able to sell that without going through this? I must be able to do that, sure. Because the problem is there is no telecommunication service provider that I need to go through who needs to update their records. So what we need to say here, surely, is when somebody disposes of or sells in any manner an activated or a cell phone that has been activated or something like that, activated cellular phone for some cost, surely.
I think that's correct, Tomé, because the other thing that I was thinking of is suppliers. You might buy, a supplier might buy it and you're using sort seen as a customer as well. You buy from a supplier, you're a shop or something. You haven't activated it, but you're a customer that bought it.
And
how would that apply? You're going to sell it in a packaging on, so you're seen as a customer then as well. Are you not?
I'm just thinking about the scenario then where you buy it not as a pick and pay or what, but as really from MTN, a service provider directly.
But if they don't activate, then there is no obligation for them to register in terms of what the order.
Also, if you look at the first place, customer suggests, I think it's already a customer on a certain telecommunication network. And that's what gives indication that an active cell phone or SIM card is actually disclosed to another person.
The problem is that the customer relates to the individual. A customer is somebody who to whom a telecommunication service provider provides telecommunication service. But that customer may be a customer, but may also have another person. So it's describing, and it's not really dealing with the issue. The issue is the activated cell phone. It's very, very hard to say. I don't mind the leading customer anyway, because I think that's worth your belt and place of storage. But I think that we must make it quite clear that it's an activated phone. I mean, you can have a phone that was activated, that has been deactivated, a black one. As long as the person is selling something that can be accessed on a service provider's system, then that's really and then I think just to make it absolutely clear, and again it may be belt and braces, but I think at the end of that sentence they must together notify the relevant telecommunication service provider. What we talk about is registering and storing. Here we talk about updates the information recorded and stored. Now I don't know what you mean by updates the information recorded and stored. Show you what you want to do. If you want the telecommunication service provider to record and store the details of the person who is now going to receive the SIM card or set on the phone. That's what you want to do.
And actually, if you look at page 10 of the document, you will see there's the first option in relation to the there is a version as introduced and the first version of section 46 sub 2. And there you will see at the heading before we get to the paragraph, there we also say process to record and store and must record and store. So we're going to check whether in the other options maybe we deviated from that. But I think that might solve to some extent the problem right.
Yeah, I think what you
might say. She is. I used to say some cards, the MIGN and IE number, really, if you want to call it on the system of the telecommunication for the provider. What they then need to do is only to update it and change the different address to room that phone or SIM card belongs.
See, what you're doing there is you're mixing up concepts. When the two people who are transacting now appear before the telecommunication service provider, the telecommunication service provider must look at the identities of both and establish that they are who they say they are. Then, because why? The one is a customer, the other one is a potential. That's the reason why you'll need both of those. I mean, you can't have a situation where you take somebody's word for it because it may be a service. So you have to have a provision that says they verify the ID. Then what has to happen is that there needs to be exactly the same process as in 40 to register and store the details of the new customer. Now, we don't have to repeat all of those things again, but the same procedure must occur. In other words, you must verify the identity, you must also verify the address, you must record and store the MI number, SIM card number, and whatever. It may, for example, be a different SIM card that you're going to use on your cell phone, for example. That detail has to be stored.
Yeah, I think think what we can use as a basis for further development, if you look at 5.1.2, we say if the two persons must notify the CSP of all the full names and ID number, and then secondly, in all other particulars contemplated in section 4.2. I think we started to build out on that, but we didn't follow through. So as to see what you
also makes contravention with the board.
I think
it
was
sorry, Ted, can I just take you back? I just missed on the top of page, the previous page, page 21, the option one where you've inserted sub 7 and 62B as opposed to the previous option, option one. What was the reason for that? Are you with me? Option one, which is C capital A. And the only difference between that and the previous one is you've added sub 7 and 62.
That's a new clause.
That's a new clause.
What it is the one that pertains to section 39. Remember what we had, previously done is we just made section 39 applicable, but now we've got a specific clause. Because we don't want them to necessarily store paper in the form of proper IDs. Now, 39 refers to when an applicant, such as a law enforcement officer, wants to go to court. They can go to any telecommunication service provider, and the basic information needs to be given to them so as to allow them to do the application. And in 39, it applies to everybody other than the telecommunication service provider. we could go back, as I said, and do something that says Section 39 applies with necessary amendments to telecommunication service providers as well. But that's not necessarily as clear as we would like it to be. And that's why your P7 is also underlined, because it's still an option.
Yes.
I think, Madam Chair, that if you look at the criminalisation of failures or contraventions, it actually boils down to every obligation in terms of this as placed on a mobile cellular operator, non-compliance thereof, that is the idea as being criminalised.
And it's not just them, but also individuals who don't comply with their obligations.
So the main, next part of the bill relates to amendments of Section 66 of the Act, which relates to...
Now, just again explain, 62, the way the other Act, the main Act is drafted, 40 deals with all those contracts prepaid that are going to be concluded once the legislation is in place. 62 now deals with those contracts or those prepaid already in service. In other words, we can't use things like activate because it's already activated. So how do we deal with the historic contracts once the legislation is in place? So this is what 62 aims to do.
The proposal was that we actually mirror the previous process that we already dealt with, and to make it applicable with the necessary changes to Section 62 of the Act. So basically what's going to happen is that the same process required earlier in the Act will be applicable on persons who are already on a network of telecommunications service provider and want to register their cellular phone. Of importance here is mainly...
This one doesn't have a heading name in the original Act. And there isn't anywhere very clearly that step that those things that I was explaining now. There's nothing in the legislation, particularly if you mirror, it's not going to explain very well what we mean. So maybe we should be looking at, you know what we had in 40? We've got those two options that you've drafted. The one is as tabled, and then the other one is something that you've now developed. On page 9. See there, that's 41 and the option with regard to 41. Which is a nice introduction in the sense that it gives you the framework within which the clause will apply. We might need something similar there, and I see that we've got 6A. But it doesn't say it's almost that you have to read it 2 or 3 times before you will realize that the difference of 40. So maybe there you want to add words such as, and I'm not necessarily saying that this is what you should do, but and there may be other ways that you are able to do it. But perhaps something to the effect of a telecommunication service provider who, at the commencement of this Act, already provides a mobile cellular telecommunication service, might within 12 months. So that we have some clarity on what the clause really relates to.
says that what you're going to do, we must actually mirror the previous process of what we discussed yesterday and make it applicable to section 62 as we change it. So all the provisions that we actually discussed yesterday will be applicable. Of particular importance, there's mainly one time period within which the whole process must take place. And so the main thing is to oblige customers to register telephones in some card is that if they do not register within a certain period of time, the services will be discontinued. And it will be ended. If I take you through the current option, what is the best way to do it?
Just do a.
Yeah. If I provide telecommunication service provider, provide a mobile cellular service must within 12 months from date of commencement of this section to record and store the particulars of all some cards and cellular phones that I use on its telecommunication system. If that has not been done in terms of section 40 of the Act. And then the only difference regarding the first option is basically the wording. And it says, must record and store the information as set out in paragraph D. Option 2,
I think what is important just to also refer your attention or draw your attention to the 6A as introduced was also to mirror section 40 sub 1. You will recall where we just said that the TSC is not allowed to allow a turn on a service or SIM card unless the particulars of only the SIM card and the phone that are used have been recorded in store. So this option then is in line with that, whereas I think later in the document we will refer back to all the particulars in section 42 and not only the information related to the SIM card and the cell phone. Thank you.
The paragraph D that was referred to is an option that's later on the page, one that's underlined in double, then places certain obligations on the telecommunication service provider that they must report and store, the mobile subscribers, the MFID, MMFID, I number, and that's probably changed in
where are you,
number.
Mr. Robert?
It's on page 22. I did do with option 1. Under that is option 2.
Yeah.
I'm dealing with that. I refer to paragraph D. I'll try to discuss that. And that is discussed outside option 2, at the end of option 2. I'll come back
but
to
option 2A.
Option 2A is something...
That is what Ms. Bush is now saying.
Yeah.
Because that's how option 2 is different from 6A on top and say. Because here what you need is all of that information in 40.
Okay, I'll just do this option 2 then and then come back to the reference from the first option paragraph D. Option 2 provides that the telecommunication service provider must be within 12 months from the date of commencement of section 62. Record and store information contemplated in section 42. This is the NFISDN number, the IBI number, the income number that must be introduced, as well as all the information that relates to the customer identity, behavior, also his address, date of birth, etc. And then we basically make the rest of section 40 also applicable. repeat in option 2. Allow paragraph 40 or initiative to make the visible.
Yeah. The registration of the
particular person needs to register then the issue of transfer. We not make that issue of transfer the message. Move it out of school.
Section 40 is not limited to at the date of commencement, so I think what you're saying is fine. So in any event, that section sub 5 will be after the fact, after the fifth date. And then the other issue is
anybody after the commencement date wishes to transfer their funds. And that should be clear enough.
The other thing is having section 62.6 under actually transitional measures also making it difficult because one would have expected all the issues relating to the information to be stored and kept under one section.
No,
now,
not such a problem because that's going to be a one-stop. Mm-hmm. So within the 12 months, everything else then is down to an internal report. And anybody who has a service, who doesn't then comply with the registration in terms of 62, then they will just deactivate. And so therefore, for them to reactivate, they'll have to go into an report.
I must say, when we drafted on page 22, that option 2, in respect of the paragraph B and C, where we had to make a decision, or, you know, whether or not we need to include, and if so, to what extent, section 42. It was really very difficult, and sometimes we felt that maybe, as you indicated, really, it is really necessary to go beyond the verification process. Like you say, the transfer and that, because as you say, then you will go back to 45 maybe. So it's fine.
Let's put it this way. Does it hurt to put 45 in C for the first?
Thank you. Okay, so don't take your cut off.
Yesterday we discussed that we need to split that up, so that must happen here as well. So
other option to say we're not going to duplicate this section because this is a security one. The one other way of dealing with that is to recertify the configuration only. Like, because if you look at the other page on page 26, that is C, where we talk about also B, where we talk about obligations and
but you have to have something to get into something, because remember, this is information stored over a 12-month period, and you want that information to also be done. I don't care how you do it, whether you're referring it to, whether you're referring to the other stores or whatever, they have something here. Okay? And that would be important.
It's a deal option. The main difference is there that we actually suggest of
limited
access, absolute limited access, or no limited access.
There's no access once you don't comply.
That's a bad
option.
Yeah. Paragraph D in this regard makes section 59 of the Act applicable to information that's recorded and stored by telecommunication service providers in terms of section 66. Again, it appears that section 50 of the Act.
If we're going to the other route where we're going to create a new source under the section 40, the other section, you know what?
Mm-hmm.
If we create our own source as opposed to referring to 39, we can refer to that source here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Version of section 62A in the Act, it's on page 26 of the document. I'll start at the bottom. The inserted section 62A was inserted in the bill as a request of the Telstra C. It basically relates to the tariff that needs to be determined by the minister regarding payments that they're going to make to persons that they're going to contract to report and store this information.
How people don't store the information. They just
record it and put it in on their system. Determine the initial carriage. effective communication is actually the responsible functionary that controls communication, and that one should consult the matter in a matter of this nature. Section 62.3 on page 27 provides that the telecommunications service provider must, on the date of commencement of this section, a customer of his or her obligations in terms of section 40, 41, of the Act. Also, inform the customers of the manner in which the obligation must be complied with, and also inform customers of the consequences of non-compliance with the obligation. Provides that the arrested person must keep proper records of particulars of persons in his employment who uses a cellular phone or SIM card, which particulars have been recorded and stored in terms of section 42 and 62.6. And the information referred to in subsection 1 must be stored for a period of 5 years. I believe in the committee yesterday we did elaborate on the position of where the authorized agent of the arrested person with the phone and SIM card is going to be utilized by the arrested person. This provision does cast obligation on that arrested person to certain records of employees of that arrested person, or person that's going to be using the equipment for a certain period of time, so that it can actually be traced to a particular individual.
So you've got section we are not members of the ANC, we leave.
Thank you.